fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Tuesday, the 30th of August. It is the 30th of August. Tuesday, the 30th of August. This month is almost over. The prepper tip today is to learn to do rock climbing and rappelling. Get good training. Get high-quality equipment. It's a lot of fun. And, of course, if you don't know what you're doing, it can be quite dangerous. It's a great skill. I've always had a lot of fun. My wife, Dr. Moore, was a rock climbing instructor, as am I, a rock climbing and rappelling instructor. Okay, this is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. We have Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. His book's for sale at amazon.com. Leon's held over from the first hour, and good morning, Jeff. Oh, looks like we lost Jeff. Never mind. He'll call back. We haven't heard from Steve Bannoon or Steve O'Neill yet. It's always a surprise. A delightful surprise if one or both of them can call in. And Jeff, you with us again, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We had some issues there. Welcome aboard. Jeff, I've been not been keeping up with what's going on with the People's Liberation Army Navy. What a strange name, People's Liberation Army Navy, and their ships that were around Taiwan. Are they still there, sir?
Yeah, they're doing their patrolling.
So the 1 week training exercise has now become a routine patrolling. Is that somewhat accurate?
Yeah, they've also done some other. They call it live fire exercises. They did another one. They're being very active around the island, and you know that 2 American warships went to sail through. And they track them, you know, because we were proving the point that it's freedom of navigation through the straits. So I think it was a couple of U.S. cruisers sailed through there. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, so those things move forward. Any more updates on the intent of the People's Liberation Army and the Chinese, the Communist Chinese, if you have any.
No, no, there isn't. Their time to act is, you know, is running. I don't know what kind of thing is going on. The Luda Media people, they had, this was my sort of take, that they had information that was valid when they released it. But their network of informants has been closed in on. I mean, there were a lot of arrests. A couple of generals were executed. So you wonder whether the information they're receiving now is up to date and whether the Chinese have changed their plans. I have no idea. You know, there's what Mr. Luda has been talking about is the pressure being put on the KMT and the claims that China has agents in the KMT that's going to cause a coup in Taiwan. There's been what they think is maybe acts of sabotage in Taiwan. Maybe saw the freeway bridge that fell down in Taiwan, and I think there's been two of them that have come down. So China wants to rattle the nerves. The People's Liberation Army wants to rattle the nerves of the people of Taiwan.
Do you think they're going to be successful?
I don't think so. I think the Chinese communists have overplayed their hand. I think the people in Taiwan want to be independent, just like the people in Ukraine want to be independent from Moscow. And I think it's not working out. But we'll see. We'll see as it gets to November. I was in a meeting on Friday with some expert people in the Committee on the Present Danger of China, and everybody was, very worried about what China was going to do. And we just didn't know whether there was going to be a war or not in the coming days, or whether it was going to play out through the winter and we were going to come back here in March, April, and to see what they were going to do.
So there's quite a few unknowns here, aren't there, Jeff?
Yeah, they are moving around missiles, mobile missile launches around their country, which is disturbing. And they don't want their, you maybe saw again, there were the signs I saw, people had taken pictures of signs put up in Beijing. No one can leave the city without permission. Spies are everywhere. You will be punished for running your mouth. Things like that. So they're being very, and what is it that they're hiding? They're hiding, it looks like they're hiding preparations for a war. And that's what it really does look like. And of course, like I said, from several sources, I've heard sources from in China saying for more than 2 years that they're preparing for war against the United States.
Well, it's no secret. The speech by the top Chinese defense minister is at my website. And they've been preparing for war with the United States for literally for decades, haven't they, sir?
Oh, yeah. Well, the communist bloc, their whole predicated on world revolution, which is centered on destroying the United States and creating a new socialist global civilization with all their other socialist partners. The socialism is the transition period between capitalism and communism.
Okay. Well, you're getting your heads up, here, ladies and gentlemen. The Communist Chinese have a plan. They have been putting in place everything they need to carry out and be successful with their plan. We have a timeline for something to happen between now and the 1st of November, either invade Taiwan or the United States, or both. Would that be a somewhat accurate statement there, Jeff?
Well, the go to war, I mean, it's been my belief based on Chia Chen's speech and other information that Taiwan is diversionary, that they expect Taiwan to fall after they've defeated the U.S. But the first call is to defeat the U.S. Navy, control the ocean, and then, of course, ultimately, they want to control the United States. So,
well, what they want is to colonize the United States and have no Americans here. That's their goal, isn't it?
Well, that's what Chiao Chen said. They need to make a second China in the United States, and that means they need to exterminate the present inhabitants of the U.S.
That's the plan. We're getting a lot of background noise here, Jeff. Papers being shuffled, books or something like that.
That's not me. That's somebody else.
Well, maybe it's Leon is feeding the chickens. I don't know. okay. Our call number is 512-248-8252. Well, Jeff, you've been working on this now for 36-plus years, studying, analyzing the international communist conspiracy, interviewing high-level KGB defectors, and the consequences of your work, I think, are wide-reaching, I think probably far greater than you think. I'm sure that there's many men and women in the Pentagon, for example, who are aware of your work, and others who have the ability to do something about it. So I think your life's work has had a very dramatic and positive impact and will continue to. We're at a point now where it looks like we may be very near what the communist Chinese have been planning for, which is the attempt to take over the United States. Would you be in agreement with that, sir?
Yeah, the United States wants to be needs to be vigilant right now, and we don't know to what extent China's been disrupted by its own war preparations. Seem to have dislocated its economy more than it would have, and there's a drought in China, which is causing massive power shortages. Their hydroelectric power system is now. They're having rolling blackouts and brownouts in China. The rivers are so low, the turbines aren't able to pull any electricity. And they really rely on that for their power in their cities and a lot of their factories. So China's on top of the financial crisis, the real estate crisis that they've got in China. So they have dislocations within their own system. So it's hard to estimate. You know, it's what people have said to me, people who are real experts in China, is China could go to war at any time. And they could strike America, an American basis. And if Russia is party to it, as Russia's already at war, they're at a level of mobilization where we wouldn't be able to tell. There would be no warning because they're already mobilized. So that's the scary thing about it, is that they have ideal conditions for launching a pretty insane attack. But we'll have to see what happens. They've got reasons to doubt their strength right now after what's happened in Ukraine.
When you say doubt, you mean to call into question what they're capable of doing? Is that what you mean, sir?
Yeah, they've suffered a setback. The Russians and Chinese are allied, and the thing in Ukraine that's happened is that Russia has found that a lot of its weapon systems don't work the way they're supposed to, and this has implications for the larger weapon systems, the strategic missiles.
Amazing. Well, there's nothing like being in an actual war to find out if your weapons work or if they don't work, is there?
Well, yeah, and it's nothing like finding out they don't work when you're in a war and you want to go back, you want to have a redo. So you have to fix your problems if you do have them.
Well, this is an education for me also. The call-in number is 512-248-8252. Well, Jeff, you're always getting new information. What's the latest information that our people might be interested in here, sir?
about Ukraine. Ukraine is the interesting thing because it's an ongoing war. The Russians, the HIMARS, the rocket artillery units, the 12 of them we gave to the Ukrainians, were used to great effect to stop the forward momentum of the Russians. And the Russians have, the latest news is the Russians have been pulling air units out of Crimea after their bases have been attacked. Of course, those bases weren't attacked by HIMARS. They're saying now it was commandos attacked the bases. And the Russian Navy, the Black Sea Fleet, has basically been neutralized. So they're stymied. They put together a new army. They're calling it the Third Army. Nobody knows. There's some indications that some of the battalions are being forward moved. This may be their last offensive for the season coming. So it looks like there may be one more Russian offensive and supposedly new equipment they're going to deploy. So we'll see if they can break the stalemate with that.
Do you think they'll be successful?
I don't know. It's hard to say. The Ukrainians have not been receiving all the supplies that they've been promised by the West. It doesn't seem that it's easy to tell. Ukrainians have raised additional units, and they've been receiving supplies from various countries. And it's very hard to keep track of what they have versus the Russians. So the variant strengths of the two sides are hard to estimate right now. What we do know is that the Russians have suffered setbacks, both at the beginning of the war when they were humiliated in their attack on Kiev, and then after the HIMARS came in and neutralized their artillery advantage. So it's going to be interesting to watch what happens. And it will not be without significance for us, because we're all learning here what the strengths and weaknesses of our enemies are. The Russians and Chinese, they use similar weapon systems and doctrine. So whatever weaknesses the Russians have, the Chinese have those weaknesses too. And this may spare us of a war in the Pacific, at least in the short run.
A lot of maybes, ifs, and speculation here, isn't there, sir?
Yeah, it is. We know what's happened. We don't know what's about to happen. And war is one of the most uncertain things that there is. It is very uncertain.
It is very uncertain, no doubt whatsoever. Your question or comment, we'll take your call at 512-248-8252. Jeff, what's the title of your new article that you're working on, sir?
The one I'm working on? Oh, I don't have a title yet.
Oh, okay.
I've changed it three times, so.
Oh,
it's about It's about Ukraine, and I'm drawing from different experts have said. It's a review of where that is. It's
okay.
Basically a review.
All right.
Yeah, and I just gave you some items on it. Basically, the Russians are trying to hold their bridgehead at Kherson over the Great River, and the Ukrainians are trying to press them. And I don't think the Ukrainians are being particularly successful. They've knocked out bridges, but the Russians have improvised by bringing in barges to supply their troops. But that being said, I don't see how the Russians can advance from the river. Given their supply systems based on barges, they won't be able to leave the river, go very far from the river to advance when they go on their offensive. So I know that Russia's been pressuring Belarusia and Lukashenko to get into the war and to invade. Lukashenko's moved some of his army units up, but the Belarus generals do not want to invade Ukraine. So,
All right.
Yeah.
That's probably wise on their part. We have a break. Call number is 512-248-8252.
primary season is coming to an end. I'm Peter Serfied with today's Liberty Minute. With primary elections nearly over and the general election fast approaching, I want to reiterate a flaw in the entire election process. Why are there any laws about primaries? The primary election is how political parties choose what candidates to place on the ballot. Political parties are private organizations. They should make their own rules. For example, if a party wants to allow independent voters to vote in their primary, it should be the party's decision, not the state government's. There are five nationally recognized political parties, but the Democrats and Republicans have been in power for so long, they have made laws specifically designed to protect their power. These private, supposedly nonprofit organizations must be afraid of open and fair competition. Find more commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem Parabellum.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. You want to protect your car, the car of your spouse, the car of that youngster off to college, with the exact same equipment that the U.S. government uses, the Department of Defense. You can do that with EMP Shield devices with a very nice $50 discount on each piece of equipment at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog, his book for sale at amazon.com. And Jeff, how can people subscribe to your website, please? You're on mute there, Jeff.
They can subscribe. There's this PayPal button below every article or video.
Yeah, I encourage people to do that because Jeff's work is so important. And the call number is 512-248-8252. Well, Jeff, you've interviewed several. How many high-level former KGB guys, I don't know if there's any women, have you interviewed? Do you recall offhand how many there were?
No, I don't. I'd have to think. Okay. I met a number. And I was fortunate enough to meet a number and to make contact with even ones that had not technically defected, that were still in, that I developed relationships over phone and email, that were still in Europe, like Viktor Kalashnikov and his wife Marina.
And when you say they're not defected, were they still working for the KGB?
He had a kind of, he and his wife was a historian. He wanted to write a history, an oral history of the Soviet Union. That was his dream since he was a teenager. And she wanted to do this project with him, and that he had collected materials since he was a teenager. He had a little recorder. He recorded his uncles giving the history of the Gulag from the side of the people who ran it. He had two uncles that were generals in the Gulag system. He agreed to work in a KGB unit in Boris Yeltsin's Kremlin in order to get out of the KGB to do this work in history. And he got out, he got free. He lived in Germany, Estonia, Poland for a while. But his wife believed that they were poisoned by the GRU. And of course, they finally got doctors. They did a show in Europe about them. They were poisoned by, they had high levels of mercury in their bodies. And it's because of their writings. At one point, when they were doing these interviews, it got out what they were doing to Gorbachev. And I don't know, that was be 2005 or 6. And Gorbachev told everybody, told the whole elite and all the retired people from the Soviet system, don't talk to the Kalashnikovs. And then they were frozen out. They could only write, they were able to publish articles in Ukraine and I think Poland, maybe. They weren't really able to do much. And so they left Moscow and they sought medical help abroad for the poisoning that they believed had happened at that point. Doctors in Germany confirmed high levels of mercury. They thought that there was probably something radioactive in there. And of course, Marina contracted cancer. And I think, if I remember right, she died in 2012. I think it was 2012 she died. They returned to Moscow for medical treatment for her. And they wouldn't let him out of the country after that. And after that, he said, if they're going to kill me, if I talk to you again. So communications ended with him.
These people play for keeps, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a happy thing to be a dissident, a kind of dissident. I don't think he intended to be a dissident. I think that he just wanted to write his history. And, they were a little bit too curious, maybe, about the system, the way it worked under Putin. And maybe they poked their nose in things that got them into trouble. We'll never know exactly why. But Gorbachev, if Gorbachev was upset with what they were doing, there was something in Soviet history that still was secret and the regime wanted to keep quiet. And I believe I know what that was, the fact that the regime, the communist regime, didn't go away. It remained underground. And that was the one thing they were afraid that was going to show through in his writing. So that I think they put a stop to it. I don't think his history and his archive is ever going to appear.
Pretty amazing. Quite amazing, quite frankly. Very amazing. The call number is 512-248-8252. I find it rather ironic that all these economic sanctions against Russia have not hurt Russia at all, that I can tell, because the fossil fuel market is an international market. What we've done is managed to hurt the West, haven't we?
Well, Russia has been hurt. Who's hurt worse? Certainly Germany and Europe in its energy is going to be hurt pretty bad here in the winter, and they're already starting to be hurt bad.
Hold on, Jeff. We got a break. We'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people.
because you can handle the truth.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Rebs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing, I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Tuesday, the 30th of August. My website is thelibertyman.com. I'm doing more private consultations than ever. I did 2 in 1 day last week. That's never happened before. What's that all about? Well, details are at my website. Private consultations help people get the information, get the clarity, get the laser focus they need to make major decisions. That's what private consultations are all about. Details at thelibertyman.com. Talked to Tom Berryhill last night, the manufacturer of the energy cleaner. He's promised another batch of 10 units later this week. I'm shipping one today to a gentleman in Georgia. And I've got another one in stock ready for immediate shipment. All the mattress pads are in stock ready for immediate shipment. If you already have an energy cleaner, be sure and check out the Micro Plush throws. It'll help you get more use of the energy cleaner you already have. Because you can not only use them on your bed, you can use them on your sofa, on your recliner, and even on your car seat to get the maximum benefit from your energy cleaner. Only $75 shipping included to American zip codes. Toll-free our line to order your energy cleaner, your Micro Plush throw is 800-592-9543. Visiting with Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. Jeff Nyquist, his book's for sale at Amazon.com. His website's jrnyquist.blog. Excellent place. Typically, Jeff, you write, would it be one article a week? Would that be somewhat accurate?
Lately, because of my other duties, yeah, it's about one a week, sometimes two postings.
And these postings eventually will become a book. Is that accurate also?
Some of them might. Some of them might.
Okay. All right. Well, you keep discussing. That's good. And our call number is 512-248-8252. North Korea is kind of the odd man out in all this mess involving Taiwan and Ukraine. Now, we heard a couple weeks ago, Jeff, that North Korea was sending troops to Ukraine. Is there any follow-up on that, sir?
Well, the Russians were floating the idea, probably to see how the Russian public reacted to it, that North Korea was willing to send 100,000 troops to fight in Ukraine. So far, I haven't heard anything official about them taking up the offer. Probably it's politically undoable, because the Russian public would probably have a very negative reaction, and there would be an international reaction as well. So it's possible. The Koreans really are interested in getting more oil and food from Russia. So I guess we'll see. The Russians are putting together, like I said, this third army that's supposed to have some kind of unique capabilities. So far, nobody's seen anything that suggests that it really does, and that Russia's going to launch an offensive using their air power and this new army to get some forward momentum.
Well, this whole war in Ukraine has been taking much longer than initially thought by many people, isn't it?
Well, the initial attack on Kiev was supposed to carry... The Russians clearly believed that they were going to win in a few days, that Ukraine was going to fold, they were going to go after the government in Kiev and take it out, and the whole system would collapse once they've taken out the government. And that was their strategy, but there were tactical failures. Paratroops landing behind Kiev were... Some of them were shot down. Others, they landed in an open areas where they thought there was a forest to take cover, and they were wiped out by the Ukrainian National Guard. There were heavy casualties in Russian elite units, and they just drove in. They were just told to drive in. They didn't observe combined arms. They suffered heavy casualties, especially in tanks. They attacked when the ground was soft. There's a new memoir from a Russian paratrooper who fought in the south. I've read some of it. It's written in Russian, but you could use a translator to translate parts of it, about his experiences. They didn't have adequate supplies. He said he went in and he didn't even have a sleeping bag. And it took him a while to get one, a ratty old sleeping bag, and he had to sleep on the ground. He got a kind of, it describes like a kind of arthritis from sleeping on the ground, frosty ground in late winter. A horrific story, and no food. They didn't forward the food to them. The Russian army was experiencing, because they thought they were just going to come in and own the country, they didn't prepare their units the kind of logistics they needed to sustain an attack. The Russian failures in the initial attack were many. They did not expect the resistance they got. They did not expect Ukraine to be able to defend itself, and it did. And now it's on the 6 month mark. The casualties for its Russia has over 47,000 dead, with over 100,000 dead, wounded, and missing. This is thought to be the numbers. The Ukrainians have tracked the dead because the Russians have left a lot of the bodies. And then the Ukrainians have picked up electronic intelligence. Almost 2,000 Russian tanks destroyed, and around 1,000 artillery systems destroyed. So that is really a horrific cost. And the Ukrainians had paid a high cost, too. We don't know what the Ukrainians are very secretive about their losses. But we think the civilian toll may be higher than anyone really can count right now. So it depends on how many civilians died in Mariupol.
Well, a lot of unknowns here, aren't there? Sure.
Yeah, there are, you know, the fog of war is ongoing. And this is why, you know, most of the people I talked to, they expected the Russians, if the Russians didn't prevail early, like a lot of people thought it was probably going to happen, because, you know, people didn't know the reliability of the Ukrainian army, they thought, well, surely when the ground dries, at the end of spring, the Russians will be able to maneuver, use their mechanized mobility to defeat them with superior numbers. The Russians never came up with superior numbers, and the Russians were afraid to use their tanks because of the javelins. A javelin missile exploited a weakness in the Russian tanks. It flies up and then attacks it from straight up in the air and attacks the armor from the top.
And they the armor is a thin, isn't it?
On the top. Right, and it just destroyed the tanks. And so apparently the training level of the Russian infantry was not up to combined arms tactics, and they just aren't able to use their mechanized forces the way that they should have been able to use them. They've lost now, as of like a week or two ago, they've lost 100 colonels dead. Those are the core leaders of their battalion battle groups, and they've lost 12 or more generals. Six generals sacked by Putin, it's believed, the British intelligence are reporting. So it's, you know, every time there's a failure, Putin fires another general, brings another one in. It's very difficult to create new colonels. The experience and the training needed for a general, for example, even the lowest ranking general, is more than 2 years to make a colonel into a general, it takes 2 years in the Russian system. To make a colonel, my goodness, it's a lot of years of training. They've lost some of their best people. And they just, well, we'll see if their army is able to learn. But their military doctrine is not adequate. And it's the same for their Air Force. Air Force has not been effective. You know, they way outnumber the Ukrainians in the air, but they haven't been able to make their Air Force effective.
Ongoing problems. If I was a colonel in the Russian Army, I think I'd be trying to get transferred to Siberia.
Yeah, well, they're probably grabbing the best people they can to send to the front. And Putin is called up for next year in January. Showing he's thinking ahead, he's prepared an additional 137,000 reservists to be called up, in addition to the regular conscripts. The problem, they probably have gotten 150,000, and of course, 100,000 have had to go into replacements and 50,000 into this new army, third army that they're putting together. So I guess we'll see if they have the wherewithal, but there's, you know, talking to some experts yesterday, we all kind of agreed we don't see anything special yet that shows that Russia is going to break the Ukrainian front. And they, like I said, in recent weeks, the Russians have lost ground in the south. But I think now that they're clinging to the river, it's my sense is that the offensive was not as strong as they wanted it to be. The Ukrainians, because I don't think the Ukrainians are getting the supplies they need to carry out a real offensive. And it may be the Ukrainians, like, defending is a lot easier than attacking. And the Ukrainians just may not have the wherewithal to carry out offensives yet. So we'll see. But I don't think they're going to take Kherson, from what it looks like.
Any prognostication on how much longer this is going to go on, sir?
There's two ways that the Russians can still win. One is if they go to tactical nukes or to some other kind of advanced weapon system like fuel air munitions, thermobaric bombs. if they go to tactical nukes, the Ukrainians have no firepower equivalent. They would just be outgunned. I think that would collapse their front. The other thing is the Russians are applying pressure on the Germans and others in Europe. There's tremendous shortages of gas. I think I saw that the kilowatt per hour for electricity in Germany is 20 times that of in the United States. So look at your electric bill and multiply by 20, and that's what the Germans are paying now. And it's going to get worse. So it's terrible things are happening to Europe. And if the Germans seem to be holding, but the idea is to break up NATO, to turn Germany against the whole project, and to cut off Ukraine supplies from behind. To get the voices of saying, look, we've got to let the Russians win. And that's the kind of pressure the Russians. The Russians are saying now that even if Ukraine agrees not to join NATO, they're going to continue the war. And from what Putin said early in the war, it's pretty obvious they want the whole of Ukraine. Because, you know, that was the former Soviet Union, and they believe that Ukraine is rightly, you know, Russian and should be part of a new union. And this is what they're going for. They have not despaired, whatever their losses have been.
No matter what the losses have been, they have not despaired.
Yeah. At least their leaders haven't.
At least the leaders haven't.
Putin is now said to bypass Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu, and he's meeting with the commanders himself directly. Shoigu was a defense minister who had no real military experience, and so he's not thought to be effective, and so he's sort of almost being sidelined. Putin's almost becoming his own defense minister. And so it looks like Putin, of course, this is when a war can get really disastrous, when a civilian like Putin, who has no real military understanding, takes over a war. This is when it can go badly. But as long as Russia stays on the defensive as they are now and allow the Ukrainians to make the mistakes, the Russians may have some time to recover from their losses and to build up again for a new offensive.
We observe these things, we monitor them, and we make our own preparations here at home, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, the big danger is that Russia and China are, what they're really doing is the threats to Ukraine and Taiwan are diversionary, and the real goal is to strike at the United States with strategic weapons. And that is what I'm worried about as an American, because America is my country and that's what I'm concerned with. And, of course, I've followed Russia and China for a long time, and I've known, you know, like you quoted Chiao Chen's speech, this has been, America is the core of the resistance to their dominating the globe. And if they take out America, they will own the world. And they will be able to then spread their preferred social system, which, of course, is, you know, communism, socialism. The Russian state has made this pretense of this Christianity and nationalism, but it isn't really who they are. The leaders of that country are the old KGB, the old Communist Party Soviet Union, which is merely went underground. So they will try to impose their control of Europe and Asia and the Pacific. If they destroy the U.S., China will make a second China in the United States, as Chiao Chen said. So, and we can see the signs that this has been their plan since 1991. It was the GRU defector, Colonel Stanislav Lunev, who spoke about this, and I knew him and worked with him. He talked about a Chinese-Russian alliance and them coming together against the United States in the future to divide North America between them. And the evidence from defectors and from the statements that have leaked out of China and Russia, they all are consistent with this idea that they want to wage this future strategic war against the U.S. and then to basically own the world. If the United States sank into the ocean like Atlantis did, if people believe in Atlantis, there would be nothing to prevent those two countries, Russia and China, from dividing up the world. The rest of the world just simply can't resist their nuclear weapons.
Very true. Very true. And people need to be aware of this. They need to understand it, and they need to incorporate this knowledge into their very being, don't they?
Yeah. Well, it is. The ultimate weapon is the nuclear weapon, and the idea that it can't be used is a fiction. And we've been way too nonchalant and way too irresponsible in not maintaining our nuclear arsenal.
Here's our break. We'll be right back. Call number 512-248-8252.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. And I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Tuesday, the 30th of August. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have Leon Green with us, former U.S. Navy officer. Jeff Nyquist, his book's for sale at Amazon. His website's jrnyquist.blog, and we do have open lines at 512-248-8252. Leon, you've been very patient and listening to all this. I'd like to hear some feedback from you on what's going on with the Taiwan Straits and the warships going, U.S. warships going through there, if you have any thoughts on that, sir.
Yeah, I have not been keeping up with that, but to hear that they're still doing it after Pelosi left, it's almost as if that was a plan to use that as a pretext to get in there and just say, okay, you want to do this? We can't control your flight. We're not going to shoot you down. So we'll just stay there, and now we'll, like, they ratcheted up and did some of the live fires. And so, yeah, that's my biggest take, is that it seemed to be almost like a stage to, since we already know that this administration wants to be in a conflict with both entities at the same time. You know, to me, it seems like it was almost like a stage rehearsal, like many of the other things of the past.
Well, keeping these waterways open for international traffic is very important, Jeff, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, a huge amount of the global shipping passes through the South China Sea. People don't realize that for the Chinese to claim it as their territory is itself a kind of a crisis, and of course, with the Taiwan Straits, claiming that is their territory and its interference in their internal affairs, it's alarming, especially to our ally Japan. Japan is an extremely important economy for us as an ally. And if anything should happen to that relationship with Japan, because we have not supported Taiwan, that would be extremely damaging to our economy.
To say the least, extremely damaging.
Yeah.
We do a lot of trade with Japan, don't we, sir?
We're dependent on them for high-end electronic stuff. And if we don't have that, those plug-ins in our economy, it could be just crippling. And we already are experiencing, you know, as you can know, dislocations because of the Chinese supply chain thing. You extend that to South Korea and Japan, and you've got a United States that's basically in a terrible state. I've been told it would take years for us to repair, to be able to do some of those things ourselves.
Well, Japan is also a source of high-quality optics, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they had very high-quality optics in World War II.
Absolutely.
And they have things that they can do that, you know, every nation has certain specialties. And the Japanese have some real talent over there.
Here's our break. Call number 512-248-8252.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.